You're listening to the Sabrina Philip podcast. In this episode, I break down why the conversation around ideal clients is so wrong and what to keep in mind as you figure out your ideal client. Keep listening.
You're listening to the Sabrina Philip podcast. In this show, online business coach and self-made millionaire Sabrina Philip shows you how to do entrepreneurship your way. She moved to Bali with $800 in her bank account and just 1 year later had scaled her business to seven figures. Sabrina has been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Goldcast, and Cosmopolitan. Using her signature, intentional, manageable, profitable framework, Sabrina helps women make millions online. Currently traveling the world, tune in each week as she reveals the best tips, tricks, and strategies for creating the intentional life and business of your dreams. Here's your host, Sabrina Philip.
Welcome back to the podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the truth about ideal clients. Now, this is something that I'm excited to talk about today because for years since day one in my business, I have always taught ideal clients differently. It's possible that maybe you've heard some of this before just because I know that a lot of people have fun repurposing my ideas, we shall say nicely. But this was when I first started talking about this, a really different approach to ideal clients. And I think that it's been really helpful for a lot of my clients that I work with just because I think they have a much different experience of their business now. And I also think that they have a much wider impact and that they really just feel passionate about the clients that they do work with. Now, the way that ideal clients are typically taught is that your ideal client is someone who, you know, kind of looks a certain way. So you'll do an ideal client avatar. And so you'll say, you know, my ideal client is a woman in her late 20s, early 30s. She has a golden doodle. She lives in a big city like Miami in an ocean view apartment, and she drinks green juices and she goes to yoga. She's very spiritual and she likes Lululemon, right? So basically, you know, white middle class woman with disposable income is the ideal client, right? So that is very limited in terms of who you can serve, but also the whole point of that is there's this belief that a certain demographic is going to be the right fit for your program. Now, I mostly work with people who are service-based business owners and a lot of coaches who want to have really big impacts. And if you only want to work with white middle-class women, then I think you're going to be very limited in terms of the impact that you can make. And I also think you just want to explore some of those beliefs around why that person would be, you know, the most likely to invest into your programs. So the way that I teach ideal clients is that you love to work with them. They love to work with you. They get the best results and they're ready to invest. That's it. I have had clients who are men. I have had clients who are in their 60s, I have had clients who are 19. I have had clients who are trans men. One of my favorite clients that I ever worked with was a close friend from college. He signed up for one of my programs. Like, I have had every single just possible ideal client. Like, I've seen it all. I've had mother-daughter duos. I have had married couples. I had a married couple my first year in business. Like, I've just seen it all, done it all. I've had very hyper spiritual clients. I have had clients who fucking hate mindset. Like, they just hate it. And it was like a brick wall trying to tear it down. So it's not just that it was like these hyper woo Lululemon ladies who have signed up for my programs, right? Like, it's really been a wide range of people. But if I had that mindset of, oh, I just want to go after that person, then sure, that might be the only person that I get, but also I'm really limiting myself. And so what I've kind of realized is you want to be going after a personality type rather than a demographic, which I'm going to get into today. And so sometimes your ideal clients are you. Sometimes people say your ideal client is a version of you, but three steps behind you. Sometimes that's the case, right? And sometimes that's not the case. So it's really just you love to work with them. They love to work with you, which a lot of that comes down to personality, right? And also willingness and how they show up as a client. They get the best results, right? I think we like to work with clients who get good results. And you have to think about who is that client who is going to get good results. And that has absolutely nothing to do with demographics. And they're ready to invest. So that's time, energy, resources, but there is a willingness and a fire and a desire to be ready to go. You could have the perfect Lululemon baby come up to your door, ready to go. She signed the contract, but then she is never booking her calls, never answering your messages, not doing the work, not actually an ideal client, right? So we have to shift what we think of as ideal clients. So some other qualities of an ideal client is that they are open to your expertise. So if they just keep shutting down every single thing that you are saying, I had a client recently who's in my millionaire program and she was struggling with one of her clients. And basically every single thing that she would suggest, this client would be like, no, 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 no. It's really hard to coach someone who doesn't trust your expertise and who isn't listening to you. It's not that you have to do what your coach says, right? That's not the point of coaching. But I think that if you're not even open to the conversation, then it's not going to go anywhere. And I want to work with clients who get results. I only take on clients who I genuinely believe that I can help, because I have built so much of my brand and so much of my reputation on client results. So if I had all these clients hanging around who just weren't getting results, that's not really doing anything for me, right? So you have to have a client who's open to your expertise. I also think paying their bills on time is the quality of an ideal client. Sometimes an ideal client might be, you know, late on a payment. Sometimes maybe they run into a rough spot and they ask for, you know, a one-time grace period or something. Everyone is going to have a one-time thing, but for the most part, overwhelmingly, paying their bills on time is really key here. I remember back in the day, I used to have a payment recovery team that they would charge me by a percentage of the revenue that they would recover. So if I have a client whose payment is late every single month, I can't remember what the number was back then, let's say 30%. I'm now paying 30% to a payment recovery team because you can't pay your bills on time. I don't do that anymore. I don't have that anymore. But that just would feel very frustrating for me as a coach and as a service provider. You know, obviously you don't have to have someone who's taking a percentage to collect your revenue. You could have a VA, you could do it yourself, all of these things. But I just think generally if I have someone who never pays their bill on time, their card declines every single month, that just gets a little bit tough. I don't really hear about that stuff anymore. My team handles that pretty independently. But sometimes I get snoopy and I poke around in Stripe and I poke around and I'm like, what's happening in the business today? So if I just see that a lot, it just makes me think, okay, well, you know, let me make sure that I, you know, do my part, you know, serve out my contract, all of that stuff, but maybe they're not a re-sign. So that's another quality or aspect of an ideal client. The other thing is respect your boundaries. I once had a client who she knew that I did not answer client messages on the weekends. So she would message me on Instagram or Facebook or other platforms trying to get my attention and trying to kind of bait me into work conversations on the weekends. And I've also had clients who they know that, let's say in a certain month, or let's say in December, I'm only taking two calls that month as opposed to my normal three, or let's say I'm only taking one call that month as opposed to my normal two. They would just like push to like hang out or do something or message me on Instagram, or it's Christmas morning and I'm getting a Facebook Messenger call. And that just feels very uncomfortable that my boundaries around my personal and private time aren't being respected. And for me, that is also not a client that I would want to re-sign or want to continue working with. Now, what you need to be looking at, because I'm giving you some examples, right, of where I've experienced the opposite of this. What you want to be looking at is this a rare occurrence or does this happen all the time? It is very, very rare for me to feel that a client is not respecting my boundaries. And if I do see that, I part ways. I sent an email a couple of months ago. It was a CEO confessions where I was talking about how something really shifted for me, that I was just no longer available for BS. And I had this client who just continuously disrespected boundaries. And we literally sent her the email saying, like, you're out, you're removed from the program, like, you're not respecting boundaries, goodbye. So, and that was like the one time in that year that I really felt that that was like a particularly bad instance. But overwhelmingly, I would say my clients are extremely respectful of my boundaries and I feel very grateful for that. But I also think that because I feel so much respect, I also feel like I give so much. Like I give so much in my programs that's not included because I want to have that connection because the relationship feels so safe, right? So I think sometimes coaches will shut down and they'll pull back because their coaching relationships don't feel safe. And then that's not good for anybody. So you want to really be looking for an ideal client who respects your boundaries, not just they look a certain way and they can pay the bill, right? It has to be all of these things, not just one of them. Another piece here is doing the work. And I think that there needs to be a bit of a conversation around this, because it's not just that my ideal clients are the ones who listen to every single thing that I say. They take every single takeaway, action, piece, golden nugget from a coaching call and just run with it. You know, yes, obviously we love those clients. We love to see it, big results. Sometimes clients are going to struggle with something like for months. Like they're going to struggle with the same issue over and over and over again, but they show up to all the coaching calls. They do the work. They try their best. They journal. They watch the modules. They're doing the best that they can. That for me is everything. I have clients. I think that sometimes there might be this assumption that all of Sabrina's like closest client friends are the ones making seven figures. It's not. It's actually a pretty even split. I have clients who are making $50,000 a year who I consider to be dear, dear, close friends. They have my address, like they have my phone number. I have clients making $3 million a year, very close friends, you know? And for me, when I kind of look at those clients, there's no difference between them in my mind. Yes, some of them are making more money than others, but they're both equally doing their best, trying hard, doing the work, showing up, respecting my boundaries, open to my expertise. And so for me, they are equally ideal clients, right? Some of them are at different levels in their journey. Some of them come into working with me making $0. Some of them come into working with me making $600,000, right? So they're at different stages in their journey, but the energy and the way that they show up and their personality and the way that we click is the same. And so that I think is something just to be looking at. If you're feeling frustrated with a client because they're not getting results, are they doing the work? If yes, then that's your own stuff, right? You want them to be further along than they are, but their soul is where it is for whatever reason. And you just get to hang tight with that and hold space for that and support them through that. Now, the last kind of big quality of an ideal client that I look for is someone who takes personal responsibility. So back in the day when I used to do sales calls, I would have a discovery call form, which I still have that. And, you know, when I have clients who need help with their sales call forms, I just pull mine up and they can, you know, take a look at mine. But one of the questions that I used to ask was, have you ever worked with a coach before? And if I get someone saying, yes, I worked with a coach, she fucking sucked, she was the worst, she didn't know what she was doing, such a waste of time, scam. You know, it's very possible that maybe she did suck and maybe she was a scam. You know, I'm open to that possibility. More often than not, though, what I find is that someone who blames their coach, especially if it's multiple coaches, if it's like every coach I've ever had sucked, is it possible that maybe the coaches didn't suck, right? Like, is it possible that maybe you're the common denominator here? Is it possible that maybe you weren't showing up in an appropriate way? And that's not about blaming anyone or making this person wrong. But when I am considering taking on a client, I have to decide if that person is the best fit for me, for my support coaches, for my team, for my company. And if I'm noticing that someone just thinks that everyone else is in the wrong, it is going to be very difficult to coach that person or to get them to take personal responsibility. And, you know, they're probably going to be the one lashing out and being disrespectful to the support team in the email inbox. And that's just not an energy I'm going to bring into my company. So if I have someone who instead, when I say, did you work with a coach? They said, yes, I did. But, you know, truthfully, I was, you know, really busy and really stressed and my mindset wasn't great. So I didn't take full advantage of the opportunity. But, you know, now moving forward, I feel really ready to step into that. Cool. Personal responsibility. Love to see it. For me, check, check. That is an ideal client. So as I've said, most people really wrongly teach that you have one ideal client who falls into certain demographics. Now, demographics are basically statistical data. So those are things like age, gender, race, location, income level. And demographics are really limiting because they assume that your ideal client will always look the same. But the truth is that there are so many people who need your services and they all look different. So you making that ideal client avatar is just a really fun exercise, but it's not going to do much. What I would say is make 10 ideal client avatars, right? And maybe circle or highlight what are the common themes that I'm noticing here. You know, maybe what you're noticing is they're very free spirited. Maybe what you're noticing is that they're very, you know, like loving and kind. And that's actually what you're picking up on the Lululemon baby who has a golden doodle. She's very like kind and loving. She has a very sweet personality. You know, maybe what you're picking up on is a level of ambitiousness. So it's not actually that you want, because I'll sometimes get that where a client is like, I only want to work with corporate women. Well, there are stay-at-home moms who are very freaking ambitious, but because of the financial circumstances of their family, they needed to stay home to take care of their kids, or they chose to stay home and take care of their kids. But they are very, 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 very freaking ambitious, and they're very powerful and very capable, and you could serve them super well, and you could help that stay-at-home mama, single mom, go make some more money and to support her entire family. Like, that would be such a game changer. But I think that sometimes there's just this fascination with, I have to serve this one type of client who looks this one certain way because I'm quote unquote niching down. You're not niching down, okay? You niche down through your message. You niche down through your process, through your framework. Like, you are the niche, right? I hate the term, like, what is it called? Nail your niche. The riches are in the niches. No, it's not. Right? If you want to have the riches, you need to serve people really well. You need to be open-minded. You need to scale. So don't worry about that stuff. Ignore all of that nonsense. But just if you're going to make an ideal client avatar, make 10 of them, right? And just be like, okay, what are the common themes? What are the patterns here? What are the personality types I'm seeing? Because that is really what's going to make the difference. What is it that actually drives your ideal client? What do they care about? What does their day look like? Not in terms of, you know, Lululemon baby goes to a yoga class and then she gets a green juice. But are they doing morning rituals? Are they really frantic and rushing through their day? People could be rushing through their day as a stay-at-home mom. People could be rushing through their day at corporate. People could be rushing through their day as a student, whatever it is. But like, what does that look like? What are they struggling with? They're really hard on themselves. There could be a young 25-year-old guy, really hard on himself, really, you know, being mean to himself because he feels like he should be making more money and he should be stronger and he has all these ideas of masculinity. There could be, a corporate person who's very hard on themselves because they think that they should have a promotion already. There could be a wife who's really hard on herself because she thinks she should be a better wife or whatever that is. So what is it that they're struggling with? Not like a specific problem, although yes, also that, right? Like, I specifically help people struggling with sales and with marketing, but it's not just that I help the corporate lady with marketing. So what is it that they're struggling with? And also, what are they dreaming about? Freedom, time with their family, time with their loved ones, fame, fortune. But what are those things that they're dreaming about? And you want to serve that person, not a set of statistics. So the other thing I want to add here, this kind of last little truth piece, is that you do not have one ideal client. You have a different ideal client for every offer. And this is something that when I first started talking about this years ago, people were like, what? Here's the thing. Your ideal client for your highest level offer is not your ideal client for your lowest level offer. So if you are trying to build a product suite and a marketing plan and a sales process that only goes to one ideal client, there's probably one offer that ideal client would serve that will sell pretty well, but everything else is going to struggle a little bit. So if you want to sell your offers really well, you need to speak to that specific ideal client who is going to be transformed by that offer. So it's really helpful to build a product suite that allows you to serve your different ideal clients and have them grow with you. And that's where having stacked programs, tiered programs, and ascension ladder can be really powerful. So what I want you to be thinking about when creating an offer is ask yourself, who needs this transformation? Who values this enough to invest? Who is ready for this offer? What are their pain points? What do they really want? What's important to them? What do they think that they need? When you start to shift your mindset around ideal clients, your results, your sales, your experience is all going to shift. But I also think that if you are someone who wants to have a really big impact, then you need to include many people in that vision. You need to include many, many people within that impact. It's not just people who look a certain way. I think it's about how people think. I think it's about how people move. I think it's about their personality, their dreams, their visions, their fears. That's what you want to tap into. When you can really harness that and you really know, like, what's the soul that I'm trying to serve here, that is when your business changes. So that's the truth about ideal clients. I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I hope that you implement some of the things we've talked about today, and I will see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Sabrina Philip podcast. We release new episodes each and every week, so make sure to hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. If you're a woman entrepreneur and you want to work with me to scale your business to 6, 7, or even 8 figures, send me a message because I'm currently accepting new clients. I hope you enjoy today's episode, and I'll see you next week.